"They call me Odium," the old man said. "A good enough name. It does have a certain bite to it. But the word is too limiting to describe me, and you should know that it is not all I represent."
"Which is?"
He looked to Dalinar.
"Passion, Dalinar Kolin.
I am emotion incarnate. I am the soul of the Spren and of men. I am lust, joy, hatred, anger, and exultation. I am glory, and I am vice. I am the very thing that makes men, men."
Heroes of presents The Storm Pod, a Stormlight Archive podcast. Book 3, Oathbringer.
This is just a quick spoiler warning for chapters 56 and 57. These were live read by Jack, so please make sure that you pick the right episode and that you are all caught up on your reading. We wouldn't want you to be behind and then miss out on this really awesome two-part live read. Really had fun with this with Jack. We're going to try to do more of these. So that was fun. So anyways, enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sean Q, and he has no idea what's about to happen. It's Jack. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, you? The listeners, you probably heard us say in the very last episode at the very end there, if you stick around to the end, that this is a completely live read chapter. So Jack hasn't read these chapters yet. Chapters 56 and 57 are going to be completely live read. And we are also joined by 25 of our favorite people. Unfortunately, some people had to get kicked out of the server because we didn't have enough space in here for everybody, but we will fix that next live read.
We'll have to course correct.
Yes, of course. Yeah. So are you ready? You ready to do this, dude, or what?
I am ready. Yeah, let's begin. Let's go for this. So this is chapter 56, nearing the end of part 2 of Oathbringer.
Yeah.
And this chapter is titled Always With You.
Mm-hmm.
It begins with another one of our cryptic bits of this letter.
Yes.
Which I think is going to be this letter. "I am also made uncertain by your subterfuge. What have you not made yourself known to me before this? Or sorry, why have you not made yourself known to me before this? How is it you can hide? Who are you truly? And how do you know so much about Adonalseum?" Have we had that term before?
Yeah, we have. A couple of times in epigraphs.
It sounded familiar.
Some people say Adonalseum, and then some people say what you just said.
What did I say? Adonalseum?
Yeah.
Adonalseum. I'm not sure how to say it properly, but I can't recall, though, where we had that before.
It's in one of the epigraphs, for sure.
"How do you know so much about Adonalseum?" And of course, is this term something that remains in Stormlight, or are we dipping into the Cosmere?
I mean, what has all the epigraphs kind of dealt with so far in this part? Mostly things that are like outer Rosharian,
yeah.
Right? Like the last one
right.
was like,
right.
I hold conflicting powers in myself, and I right. don't sometimes don't know what to do with them, right?
Right.
And then before that, it was like, I am a deity. Even a deity
right.
might
be
naive.
Surprised
I'm surprised that I didn't know what was about to happen. So,
okay.
Yeah. So there's some stuff, some big stuff being at play here.
I'm taking a sip of my drink here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get into the meat here.
Okay.
Okay. So this chapter begins... Oh, we get Dalinar. Dalinar appeared in the courtyard of a strange fortress with a single towering wall of blood-red stones. It closed a large gap in a mountainous rock formation.
Mm-hmm.
Around him, men carried supplies or otherwise made themselves busy passing in and out of buildings constructed against the natural stone walls. Winter air made Dalinar's breath puff before him. He held Navani's free hand on his left and Yasna's on his right. It had worked. His control over these visions was increasing beyond even what the Stormfather assumed possible. Today, by holding their hands, he had brought Navani and Yasna in without a high storm.
Yeah, dude. Oh,
that's interesting.
So he's able to, his power, the line that he says here, his control over these visions was increasing beyond even what the Stormfather assumed was possible.
Thought was possible, right.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Wonderful, Nirvani said, squeezing his hand. That wall is as majestic as you described. And the people, bronze weapons again, very little steel. That armor is soul cast, Yasna said, releasing his hand. Look at the finger marks on the metal. That's burnished iron, not true steel. Soul cast from clay into that shape. I wonder, did access to soul casters retard their drive to learn smelting? Working steel is difficult. You can't simply melt it over a fire, like you can bronze. So, Dalinar asked, when are we? Maybe 2,000 years ago, Yasna said. Hang on, why would Dalinar not know?
What do you mean?
This is his... What's that?
What do you mean?
Well, he asked, when are we?
Well, he doesn't know. He's not the scholar.
Okay.
Right? He knows what this vision is, because he's come here
right.
often.
But he doesn't know exactly when
it
since
is.
Yasna's...
Right.
So Yasna
and so he's
can,
brought the
okay,
scholars,
can pinpoint.
Right?
Yeah, this is cool. I like that. Okay. Sorry, I just did miss a little stone I tripped on.
No, it's okay.
Maybe 2,000 years ago, Yasna said, those are, oh geez, Harovingian swords?
Mm-hmm.
Harovingian swords. And see those archways, late classical architecture, but washed out faux blue on the cloaks rather than true blue dyes. Mix that with the language you spoke in which my mother recorded last time, and I'm fairly certain. She glanced at the passing soldiers. A multi-ethnic coalition here, like during the desolations, but if I'm right, this is over 2,000 years after Ahariatium?
Mm-hmm.
I always have a trouble with that one, too.
Me too.
They're fighting someone, Dalinar says. The Radiants retreat from a battle, then abandon their weapons on the field outside.
Okay, hold on. Stop here. So, they're fighting someone.
Yeah.
The Radiants retreat from a battle, then abandon their weapons on the field outside.
Right.
This
is when we...
is Feverstone Keep.
Right.
This is the Recreants, when it starts. Remember when Dalinar in his very first time as a vision was
right.
like a character named Leaf, and he was inside the walls of Feverstone Keep, and then he saw the Radiance coming, and he went outside.
Coming down.
And then they just started abandoning all their stuff. And then the people inside Feverstone Keep started fighting each other over these discarded shards.
Right.
So this is the beginning of the Recreants.
Wow. Which places the Recreants a little more recently than Masha, daughter Shaliv, had it in her history, Yasna says, musing. From my reading of your vision accounts, this is the last chronologically, though it's difficult to place the one with you overlooking ruined Kolinar.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like it that Yasna had at the ready another scholar that, aha, so-and-so got it wrong. Huh?
Right, like, right. Well, it's like she's got all this stuff in her brain that she knows, and she knows the purpose of them coming here is for this as well, right? Mm.
So, yeah, for sure.
Mm. And the other interesting part here is this,
what?
That this one, Feverstone Keep, seems to be the last chronologically of the visions. So when remembering the
one
past,
that Dalinar received out of all the visions?
Or no, this is the last one that happens in the timeline of all the visions.
Right, in the timeline. Right,
right.
Okay.
But she says, though it's difficult to really place the one where you're overlooking ruined Kolinar. Remember when he, there's that one where he's, so they're still not sure where that one should be placed in the order of the timeline of the visions.
Right. Right. From my reading of your vision accounts, this is the last chronologically, though it's difficult to place the one with you overlooking Kolinar.
Yeah, so
it's
not, they're not still sure where that one's supposed to go.
And that could be the future.
It could be, he could be looking over Kolinar at any one of the desolations. If it's been happening over and over again, it could be
over again.
Any one of the desolations, right? So.
Right. Who could they be fighting? Navani asks, as men atop the wall raise the alarm. Horsemen galloped out of the keep, off to investigate. This is well after the Voidbringers left. It could be the false desolation, Yasna said. Have we had that term before, false desolation?
Yeah, I think that it has come up before.
Okay. Dalinar and Navani both looked at her. It's a legend, Yasna said, considered pseudo-historical. Dovkanti wrote an epic about it somewhere around 1500 years ago. The claim is that some Voidbringers survived Ahariatayim, and there were many clashes with them afterward. It's considered unreliable, but that's because many of their ardents insist that no Voidbringers could have survived. I'm inclined to assume this is a clash with Parshmen before they were somehow deprived of their ability to change forms. Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
She looked at Dalinar, eyes alight, and he nodded. She strode off to collect whatever historical tidbits she could. Navani took some instruments from her satchel. One way or another, I'm going to figure out where this Feverstone Keep is, even if I have to bully these people into drawing a map. Perhaps we could send scholars to this location and find clues about the recreants. I don't know why, for some reason, but I was just thinking. Hang on. So they don't know where Feverstone Keep is. Do we have Feverstone Keep, the location of it, on Roshar?
We don't know. This is what they're saying. They don't know where it is.
So what I'm just thinking now, because we've talked about this whole Cosmere kind of thing, which I don't really know much about, but is it possible that these events are not happening on Roshar?
I feel like it is.
Okay.
Sorry. Because one of the things we know about the Recreants is that they're going to say it, I think, sometime soon in this chapter here, that these men at the Feverstone Keep, these non-radiant soldiers, are going to fight over these prizes, these shard blades and shard plate, and then they will go on to become the leaders of the next, 500 years of the world, because they have all these amazing magic items to help them conquer and rule and stuff, right? This is everything that Dalinar has seen in visions are history, Roshar's history in vision form, right?
Right.
So just because they don't know where Feverstone Keep is on Roshar doesn't necessarily mean it has to be somewhere else, outer Roshar.
No.
Right.
No. I was just
I do like
out
that she's like, I will bully someone into drawing me a
into
damn
drawing
map.
A map. I know.
yeah.
Where is Feverstone Keep?
Yeah, exactly.
Here, I'm going to get you a pen.
Just
jot it down. Dalinar made his way over to the base of the wall. It was a truly majestic structure, typical of the strange contrasts of these visions. A classical people, without fabrials or even proper metallurgy, accompanied by wonders. A group of men piled down the steps from the top of the wall. They were trailed by His Excellency Yanagon the First. We've had that name before.
Mm-hmm.
The Prime Aquasics of Azir. While Dalinar had brought Navani and Yasna by touch, he had asked the Stormfather to bring in Yanagon. The high storm currently raged in Azir. That's cool that he's here, eh?
Mm-hmm. So the Stormfather can bring other people in as long as the high storm is raging over top of where they are.
Right.
But Dalinar wanted to be able to bring in Yasna and Navani without there being a High Storm here.
High Storm present.
He could go into Visions without the High Storm, but he hasn't been able to bring anybody else in without the High Storm, and that's why he was able to do it this time. And that's why his power has grown. So, yeah, there's a little bit of a meeting here that's being set up.
The youth saw Dalinar and stopped. Do I have to fight today, Blackthorn? Not today, Your Excellency. I'm getting really tired of these visions, Yanagon said, descending the last few steps. That fatigue never leaves, Your Excellency. In fact, it has grown, as I've begun to grasp the importance of what I have seen in vision, and the burden it puts upon me. That isn't what I meant by tired. Dalinar didn't reply, hands clasped behind him, as together they walked to the sally port where Yanagon watched events unfold outside. Radiants were crossing the open plain or flying down. They summoned their blades, provoking concern from the watching soldiers. The knights drove their weapons into the ground and then abandoned them. They left their armor as well. Shards of incalculable value, renounced. Yeah, such a big mystery, all of this. Mm-hmm. Oh man, are we gonna get the why from this?
Just keep reading. I can't say anything for or against.
Wow. The young emperor looked to be in no rush to confront them as Dalinar had been. Dalinar therefore took him by the arm and guided him out. As the first soldiers opened the doors, he didn't want the emperor to get caught in the flood that would soon come as men dashed for those blades and then started killing one another. As before in this vision, Dalinar felt as if he could hear the screaming deaths of the Spren, the terrible sorrow of this field. It almost overwhelmed him.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Yanagon asked. Why did they just give up? We don't know, Your Excellency. This scene haunts me. There is so much I don't understand. Ignorance has become the theme of my rule.
I really, really like that line.
That line?
Of Dalinar. He's admitting it to another world leader. There's no posturing there. There's no, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because I have these visions, I know what needs to be done. He's saying,
right,
I really don't know.
Right.
It's really cool. It's really awesome of him to admit it. It's hard for us to be vulnerable as people.
Yeah.
And to admit that you don't know something or you don't, you know, people want to, like, that's why most people lie, I think, is to pretend like they know.
Right.
I'd rather admit to not know and be like, I need help knowing.
Yeah. I love, I don't know. It's my favorite answer.
Me too.
Maybe not my favorite,
no,
but it's a good answer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yanagon looked around and then scrambled for a tall boulder to climb where he could better watch the radiance.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed far more engaged by this than he had been by other visions. Dalinar could respect that. War was war, but this was something you never saw.
Mm-hmm.
Men willingly giving up their shards. And that pain, it pervaded the air like a terrible stench. Yanagon settled down on his boulder. So, why show me this? You don't even know what it means. If you're not going to join my coalition, I figure I should still give you as much knowledge as I can. Perhaps we will fall, and you will survive. Maybe your scholars can solve these puzzles when we cannot. And maybe you are the leader Roshar needs, while I am just an emissary. Wow, that's pretty forward thinking of Dalinar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that.
Yeah. Because it's more important for everyone to be able to fight against this or to survive than it is for him to be the leader.
Sure.
But I love the next line.
You don't believe that. I don't. I still want you to have these visions just in case. That's funny.
Yeah.
But you don't actually believe
that. You don't actually believe that, do you? No, I don't.
He
wants to believe it, I think. You know? If he dies in battle, he wants someone else to be able to take up the cause.
Yeah.
even though he knows it's falling on him.
Yeah. Yanagon fidgeted, playing with the tassels on his leather breastplate. I don't matter as much as you think I do. Pardon, Your Excellency, but you underestimate your importance. Azir's Oathgate will be vital, and you are the strongest kingdom of the West. With Azir at our side, many other countries will join with us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Yanagon said, that I don't matter. Sure, Azir does, but I'm only a kid that they put on the throne because they were afraid that that assassin would come back.
Right.
And the miracle they're publishing? The proof from the heralds that you were chosen? Well, that was Lyft, not me. Yanagon looked down at his feet, swinging beneath him. They're training me to act important, Colin. But I'm not. Not yet. Well, maybe not ever.
Mm-hmm.
This was a new face to Yanagon. The vision today had shaken him, but not in the way Dalinar had hoped. He's a youth. Dalinar reminded himself. Life at his age was challenging anyway, without adding it to it the stress of an unexpected ascension to power.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the reason, Dalinar told the young emperor, you are prime. The viziers have published your miraculous elevation to the public. You do have some measure of authority. He shrugged. The viziers aren't bad people. They feel guilty for putting me in this position. They give me education, kind of force it down my throat, honestly, and expect me to participate, but I'm not ruling the empire.
Can we stop and talk about this for a second?
Sure, yeah.
So the viziers and the scions and all these people that are kind of in charge in Azir all wanted to become the prime, but because Zeth was killing all the leaders of the world, none of them wanted it. They wanted the power, but none of them wanted to stick their neck out.
Right.
Right. So they saw an opportunity to put Gox, Yanagon, in as the prime.
Right.
And now we get, because of that, we get this character that's really cool, this young and experienced character, whose like best friend is our edge dancer Lyft, right?
Right.
What do you think of this choice that they made? Do you think that it's good for them, for the bureaucracy of Azir, or do you think it'll backfire on them having this young kid as their prime?
So I don't really know what the capabilities are of the viziers of Azir.
Right.
And that's funny to say.
The viziers of Azir, yeah.
The viziers of Azir.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what they're willing to do. But, you know, it would seem that if a kid's on the throne, if a kid's an emperor and he's in the way, well, then he can be deposed.
That's true, I guess.
Dismissed.
Yeah.
He can be killed. He can be removed. You know, he's just a kid.
But they also believe, I think, that they can manipulate him and make him do what they want. So it's almost as good as being in power yourself, right?
Maybe.
So there might be a reason to keep him up there, because if, you know, Zeth starts killing again or someone else starts killing leaders again, then they're safe from that.
Where is Zeth? Are we getting Zeth?
Where is Zeth? Last time we read about Zeth was in Edge Dancer. He was with Nail.
Yes, that's right.
Have we not read Zeth in this book yet?
I don't think so. We have, no. And no Wit, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, no Wit either. Maybe they're in the Reshi Isles getting drunk, hanging out with the naked islanders.
That's where I'd be.
That's where Jack would hang out, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Or I'd be with Axes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, hang on. Now I lost my place.
I think it's they're scared of you is where you're at.
Hang on. That was Lyft, not me. They're training me to act important, Colin. Well, whatever the reason, Dalinar told the young emperor, you are prime. You do have some measure of authority.
Mm-hmm.
He shrugs. The viziers aren't bad, and they expect me to participate, but I'm not ruling the empire. They're scared of you. They're very scared. More scared than they are of the assassin. Mm-hmm. So they're scared of you, meaning Dalinar, right?
Yeah.
Because the quote is continuing. more scared of you than they are of the assassin. He burned the Emperor's eyes, but emperors can be replaced. You represent something far more terrible. They think you could destroy our entire culture.
Remember, there's history. There's history here with the Sunmaker, right? The old Alethi conqueror who tried to conquer the world. And they are afraid that Dalinar would become a new Sunmaker. I mean, for fuck's sakes, for a little while, Dalinar even wielded the Sunmaker's sword, Oathbringer.
Right.
So this is a... Oathbringer is almost like a representation of that in itself.
Sure.
This heritage that Dalinar holds or held for a while as being the warmonger and how it affects all of his dealings with everyone around.
I don't think that he's done with that shadow either. Because it's almost like all of those around who won't give you that second chance, you know, to become something else. It's almost like it ends up building towards that, you know, that that's all you are is the Blackthorn. So I'm just throwing it out there that, I don't know, Dalinar, it's, I don't know, like a caged animal or, I don't know. I don't know what's going to be his arc. I'm hoping that, you know, change would be a good thing.
I think my highlight,
but I don't know.
My highlight in this chapter is this line here. He burned the Emperor's eyes, but the Emperor's can be replaced. You represent something far more terrible. They think you can destroy our entire culture.
Right.
Which is really, it's really fascinating, that whole fear and the impending doom that is Dalinar.
No Alethi has to set foot on Azish stone, Dalinar says. But come to me, Your Excellency. Tell them you've seen visions, that the heralds want you to at least visit Urthiru. Tell them that the opportunities far outweigh the danger of opening that oath gate. And if this happens again, Yanagon asks, nodding toward the field of shard blades. Hundreds of them sprouting from the ground, silvery, reflecting the sunlight. Men were now pouring out of the keep, flooding towards those weapons. We will see what it doesn't. Oh, sorry, we will see that it doesn't, somehow. Dalinar narrowed his eyes. I don't know what caused the recreants, but I can guess. They lost their vision, Your Excellency. They became embroiled in politics and let divisions creep among them. They forgot their purpose, protecting Roshar for its people. You think that's the reason why they gave up?
I mean, it sounds good.
Yeah.
Dalinar is just assuming here. He has no real concrete evidence of what's going on in those people's brains. Right. Until we know for sure, we're not going to know whether or not Dalinar is right or not. You know?
Hmm. Yanagon looked to him, frowning. That's harsh. You always seemed so respectful of the Radiance before. I respect those who fought in the Desolations, but these? I can sympathize. I have too an occasion let myself be distracted by small-minded pettiness. But respect? No. He shivered. They killed their Spren, and they betrayed their oaths. They may not be villains, as history paints them, but in this moment they failed to do what was right and just, and they failed Roshar. The Stormfather rumbled in the distance, agreeing with this sentiment. Wow, that's pretty cool.
I love it when the Stormfather does
respond.
It's like adding a really, it's like a, adding an exclamation point to the sentence or something, you know?
Yeah, pathetic fallacy or whatever it's called. Yanagon cocked his head. What? Dalinar asked. Lyft doesn't trust you, he said. Oh yeah, I remember that.
Right, because he's got a tight butt. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right, the tight butt. I forgot about that bit. Dalinar glanced about, expecting her to appear, as she had in the previous two visions that he'd shown Yanagon. There was no sign of the young Reshi girl that the Stormfather detested so much.
I love that the Stormfather hates her.
Also doesn't like her.
It's too funny.
I think some of the fans of this series, they're not that fond of Lyft, right?
Is that true? I don't know. I haven't I haven't read too much hate. I've actually read more Shallan hate than I have read Lyft hate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But some people get focused on the character that they like, the POV they like, and then it's hard for people to get through those other POVs. So, I don't know. Right. I think that most of the people that are on our Discord and that are listening right now, and most people that listen to the show, have a pretty balanced judgment of all these different characters and how important they are to other people's journeys, right? So,
yeah.
I also just love that Lyft, you know, doesn't trust Dalinar because of his tight butt. You know, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Like, she would totally trust me because I got, like, a loose bag of a bag of rice as an ass over here. Like, just like a cup of rice in a burlap sack is what I got going on over here. So,
oh, my God. That's so
trustful.
Tight butts. So,
trustful, yeah.
Tight butts are to be.
Yes. Don't trust them.
It's a concern. If your butt's holding your pants up, that's a problem.
Right. But if you need suspenders, I can trust that guy.
Trustworthy suspenders. Okay.
Yeah.
Yannigan Cox says, Dalinar says what? Lyft doesn't trust you. Dalinar glanced about, expecting her to appear. The Stormfather detested her so much. It's because, Yannigan continued, that you act so righteous. She says anyone who acts like you do, is trying to hide something.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I've mentioned to you before, is that, you know, Dalinar, you know, it's about putting all the right pieces in order, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Oath Gates and, you know, like, it would be... In terms of the sleeping giant, here I am, silly, you know, with my silly Navani thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the sleeping giant, the big concern could be Dalinar.
I mean, you said it at the very beginning of this chapter.
Yeah.
At the very beginning of this book. I think the scene was actually when Dalinar saw the vision of the champion with nine shadows. And he thought his eyes looked familiar. And you were like, what if it's his own eyes? So, like, you've been playing this tune for a little bit, so.
Okay. You act so righteous, you're trying to hide something. Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, Lyft's the kind of character that I kind of do trust because it seems like she can see through things. Mm-hmm. Like, gets to the core of what's real, mm-hmm. you know? A soldier strode up and spoke to Yannigan in the Almighty's voice. They are the first. Dalinar stepped back, letting the younger emperor listen as the Almighty gave his short speech for this vision.
Mm-hmm.
These events will go down in history. They will be infamous. You will have many names for what happened here. The Almighty said the same words he had to Dalinar.
Mm-hmm.
The night of sorrows will come, and the true desolation, the Everstorm. The men on the field, full of shards, started to fight over the weapons. For the first time in history, men started slaughtering one another with dead spren. Finally, Yannigan faded, vanishing from the vision. Dalinar closed his eyes, feeling the Stormfather draw away. Everything now dissolved. Except it didn't. Dalinar opened his eyes. He was still on the field before the looming, blood-red wall of Feverstone Keep.
Mm-hmm.
Men fought over shard blades while some voices called for everyone to be patient. Those who claimed a shard this day would become rulers. It bothered Dalinar that the best men, the ones calling for moderation or raising concerns, would be rare among their numbers. They weren't aggressive enough to seize the advantage.
This is what we were talking about earlier. Right. Those who claimed a shard this day would become rulers.
Would become rulers, yeah.
Yeah.
Why was he still here, though? Last time the vision had ended before this. Stormfather? He asks. There's no reply.
Mm-hmm.
Dalinar turned around. A man in white and gold stood there. Dalinar jumped, scrambling backward. The man was old, with a wide, furrowed face and bone-white hair that swept back from his head as if blown by wind. Thick mustaches with a hint of black in them blended into a short, white beard. He seemed to be Shin, judging by his skin and eyes, and he wore a golden crown in his powdery hair. Those eyes, they were ancient, the skin surrounding them deeply creased, and they danced with joy as he smiled at Dalinar and rested a golden scepter on his shoulder. Suddenly overwhelmed, Dalinar fell to his knees. "I know you," he whispered. You're him. God." "Yes," the man said. "Where have you been?" "I've always been here," God said. "Always with you, Dalinar. Oh, I've watched you for a long, long time." "Here? You're not the Almighty, are you?" "Honor? No. He truly is dead, as you've been told." The old man's smile deepened, genuine and kindly. "I'm the other one, Dalinar. They call me Odium."
"Oh my God. What?" I thought that we... That's crazy.
So my entire body has goosebumps right now.
I don't know what's going on here. Hang on. I got to absorb this here. Yep. This is an extension of the vision.
Mm-hmm. The vision hasn't ended.
Normally stops.
Normally he's
Stormfather stopped. Is mm-hmm. brought away, is taken away from this. Stormfather's
gone.
Sees this.
Everyone else is gone. Yasna, Navani, Yanagon, they're all gone.
And he acknowledges that he's God. He says yes.
Yeah, but he also says, I'm the other one.
Right, I'm the other one. You're not the Almighty, are you? Honor? No. He truly is dead, as you've been told. Is this for real?
I'm the other one, Dalinar. They call me Odium.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, if you think I'm going to stop there...
You're not, because we're reading two chapters, remember?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, let's go.
Hold on.
We have a thing
we do on this show. Then I say, hey, what's your highlight of the last chapter?
Okay. Well, we didn't really cover this enough. Like, I probably have other...
What we will do for sure is we will give you time to digest this, and we'll talk about it in the next episode. But for now, just on this, you know, quick skim through it, first read, what stands out to you as a highlight?
Well, I like the mistrust of Lyft. Okay. I like that that's resurfaced again. It reminds me to be cautious about Dalinar, that Dalinar can be, something that can be used for ill will, let's say. And Odium, like this, this is like Sauron appearing. Or the Emperor appearing before someone to further corrupt. It was kind of like what we were saying earlier in our coverage of the last two chapters with regards to, with regards to Moash.
Right, with Leshwi?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it's similar.
So my thoughts on this are, you know, Odium always with you, right? So Odium has been watching Dalinar. Right. So this is the test of Dalinar then. This is Odium looking for his champion. Right?
I mean, it's a good guess.
We don't know.
You barely know anything yet.
You're a little baby.
Wow. That's I'm a little baby. That's crazy.
As for my highlight, I said it already. It's the thing that they think you could destroy our entire culture. I really love that line.
Right.
I love the idea of Dalinar being this threat. The other thing I want to point out quickly while we have a second here is Dalinar says that he glanced over expecting her to appear, her being Lyft, she had in the previous two visions he'd shown Yanagon. The previous one vision that we read about, the first one, was the one where she said, I don't trust you because you have a tight butt. But he's saying there was previous two visions. So there's a whole other vision there that happened off page.
Right. Where she appeared.
Yeah, she appeared while he was talking to Yonagon again. We weren't privy to that meeting, but it probably went along the same lines as, do you have any good food up at where you guys are? Yeah. you know, something about butts, probably. There was something butt related.
Whoa.
So, yeah. Are you ready to...
They call me Odium.
Well, are you ready to continue this?
Didn't Odium kill Honor? Isn't that the...
That's what we know. That's what we've learned so far in these 2.5 books plus a novella, is that Odium was the cause of the Almighty's death.
Right. Well, that's what this is about then. This has got to be trying to get Dalinar to become champion.
Do you remember earlier this morning when we recorded the last two chapters and we recorded the previous episode, and there was a word that Lady Leshwe said... That I was like, I want you to remember that word for
the
later.
Passions.
Yeah.
Passions.
Mm-hmm. The chapter that you're about to read right now is called
Passion. Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. 57. Nice. Okay. Well, can we?
Yeah.
Let's continue.
Go ahead. At your leisure, sir.
Okay. All right. So, chapter 57, Passion. If you would speak to me further, I request open honesty. Return to my lands and approach my servants, and I will see what I can do for your quest. Okay. Sounds cordial.
Yeah, sounds nice.
Yeah, sounds nice. There you go, something nice. And then something not so nice.
Yeah.
So chapter 57 begins with Odium. Dalinar scrambled to his feet, lurching backward and seeking a weapon that he didn't possess. Ah, that's right. Oathbringer is not there.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it?
Well, Oathbringer is not in his possession anymore, right?
I know, but...
It belongs to Amaram now? Or at least it belongs to Ile. We don't know whether or not Ile has given it to Amaram as the new House Sadeas. But Dalinar returned it to House Sadeas because it does belong
that's
to
him. Okay, Dalinar scrambled to his feet, lurching backward for a weapon that wasn't there that he didn't possess. Odium, standing in front of him. The Stormfather had grown distant, almost vanished, but Dalinar could sense a faint emotion from him, a whine, like he was straining against something heavy.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was a whimper. Oh, geez. Like the Stormfather is whimpering in the presence of Odium?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Odium rested his golden scepter against the palm of his hand, then turned to regard the men fighting over the shard blades. I remember this day, Odium said. Such passion, and such loss. Terrible for many, but glorious for others. You were wrong about why the Radiants fell, Dalinar. There was infighting among them, true, but no more than in other eras. They were honest men and women, with different views at times, but unified in their desire to do what was best. What do you want from me? Dalinar said. Oh, I like that he gets direct. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't care about the history lesson or whatever. Yeah. Just, what do you want from me? Hand to his breast, breathing quickly. Storms, he wasn't ready. Oh my gosh. He senses his end. Like, this could be his end. That's what we say. I'm not ready to die, right?
I mean, you're looking for answers that are not coming back on this conversation. I'm going to say again what I said last episode, what Brandon always says, read and find out.
Could he ever be ready for this moment? Odium strolled over to a small boulder and settled down. He sighed in relief like a man releasing a heavy burden, then nodded to the space next to him. Dalinar moved. Dalinar made no move to sit. Oh. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You have been placed in a difficult position, my son. My son, that's rich.
Yeah.
Odium said, you are the first to bond the Stormfather in his current state. Did you know that? You are deeply connected to the remnants of a god. Whom you killed, Dalinar says. Yes, I'll kill the other one too, eventually. What other one?
Keep reading.
She's hidden herself somewhere, and I'm too shackled.
Do you remember we've had conversations about how there were three entities that people believed in on Roshar? This came out maybe last book. The names were Honor, Odium, and Cultivation.
Oh, Cultivation, yeah.
And these at the time seemed to be like amorphous terms to us as a reader. But this guy, this Odium here, is making
it... Was Cultivation something that we got from the Reshi Isles?
I don't know where exactly you would have heard Cultivation for the first time. Though, Lif's Spren is a Cultivation Spren.
Spren, right.
And they refer to their mistress.
Right.
So there's some connections there. But regardless, you have heard the word cultivation before in reference to some kind of entity.
So far, my highlight of this chapter is the she's hidden. Mm-hmm. I like that it's a she.
Mm-hmm. And I like that he says she's hidden herself somewhere and I'm too shackled.
Odium is shackled.
Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't have free reign in so much as he'd like.
You're a monster. You're a monster, Dalinar says. Oh, Dalinar, this from you of all people. Tell me you've never found yourself in conflict with someone you respect. Tell me you've never killed a man because you had to, even if in a better world he shouldn't deserve it. Dalinar bit back a retort. Yes, he'd done that. Too many times. I know you, Dalinar, Odium said, and he smiled again, a paternal expression. Come, sit down. I won't devour you or burn you away at a touch. Dalinar hesitated. You need to hear what he says. So that's the italicized voice again. You need to hear this.
Yeah, this is Dalinar.
Almost.
This is like Dalinar saying it, but.
Yeah.
Like we said to you in the last episode, was Moash's inner thoughts italicized because they were his own thoughts, or you were like thinking that maybe they might not have been his own thoughts. Yeah. Because the description was a deep whisper from the inside said this, right?
Right.
But that's not this. This is, there's no description like that, that there might be other, like otherness to it.
You need to hear what he has to say, or what he says. Even this creature's lies can tell you more than a world of common truths. That's a great line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He walked over, then stiffly sat down. What do you know of us three? Odium asked. It's kind of interesting that he considers himself us like part of the three.
Like a trinity, right?
Yeah. Honestly, I wasn't even aware there were three of you. More, in fact, Odium said absently. But only three of relevance to you. Me, Honor, Cultivation. You speak of her, don't you? I suppose, Dalinar said. Some people identify her with Roshar, or the Spren of the world itself. She'd like that, Odium said. I wish I could simply let her have this place. So do it, and leave us alone. Go away. Odium turned to him so sharply that Dalinar jumped. Is that, Odium said quietly, an offer to release me from my bonds? Coming from the man holding the remnants of Honor's name and power? Dalinar stammered. Idiot, you're not some raw recruit. Pull yourself together. No, he said firmly. Ah, all right then, Odium said. He smiled, a twinkle in his eyes. Oh, don't fret so. These things must be done properly. I will go if you release me, but only if you do it by intent.
Mm-hmm.
With a capital I.
Right. seems to be saying that on, Dalinar could release Odium
from right.
Remember he said he's too shackled.
So does that mean that he could he's a bondsmith, he could bond with Odium?
Maybe not bond him, but that because he has in his grasp the remnant of Honor's name and power, which is his bond to the Stormfather, he might have a way of being able to release Odium. But the fact that he says, leave us alone, go away, and then Odium turns it into an opportunity to be released, makes Dalinar go, oh, fuck, what am I doing? I'm playing at something way bigger here than... I'm not a raw recruit. I got to be careful with what I fucking do here.
Yeah, I'm playing into his hands. Yeah,
right.
Or he's playing me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right then. Odium says these things must be done properly. I will go if you release me, but only if you wish to do it by intent.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the consequences of my releasing you? Well, first I'd see to cultivation's death. There would be other consequences, as you call them, as well. Eyes burned as men swept about themselves with shard blades, killing others who had mere moments before been their comrades. It was a frantic, insane brawl for power.
It's crazy that this is happening in the background.
As the background of this conversation, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just leave, Dalinar asked, without killing anyone? Well, let me ask you this in return. Why did you seize control of Alethkar from poor Elikar? I don't reply. Don't give him ammunition. You knew it was for the best, Odium said. You knew that Elikar was weak, and the kingdom would suffer without firm leadership. You took control for the greater good, and it has served Roshar well. Nearby, a man stumbled toward them, limping out of the fray. His eyes burned as a shard blade rammed through his back, protruding 3 feet out of his chest. He fell forward, his eyes trailing twin lines of smoke. A man cannot serve two gods at once, Dalinar, Odium said. And so I cannot leave her behind. In fact, I cannot leave behind the splinters of honor as I once thought I could. I can already see that going wrong. Once you release me, my transformation of this realm will be substantial.
Mm-hmm.
You think you'll do better? Dalinar wet his mouth, which had gone dry. Do better than others would for this land? You, a manifestation of hatred and pain. They call me Odium, the old man said. A good enough name. It does have a certain bite to it, but the word is too limiting to describe me, and you should know that is not all I represent. This is crazy.
It's intense stuff, eh?
Which is, Dalinar asks. He looked to Dalinar. Passion, Dalinar Colon. I am emotion incarnate. I am the soul of the Spren and of men. I am lust and joy, hatred and anger and exultation. I am glory and I am vice. I am the very thing that makes men, men. Honor cared only for bonds, not the meaning of bonds and oaths, merely that they were kept. Cultivation only wants to see transformation and growth. It can be good or bad for all she cares. The pain of men is nothing to her. But only I understand it. Only I care, Dalinar. Ooh, that's using the care.
Yeah, I have a big note in my notes for this because Taladin taught us to care, right?
Right.
And he's saying only I care.
Only I care because I know. Yeah. This is reminding me a lot of the... there's a conversation that happened in a movie. It's, well... you may have seen it. It's called The Devil's Advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Keanu Reeves and Al Pacino.
Mm-hmm.
There's a conversation from the devil's perspective, who's personified in that movie. And it's kind of similar to this. It's like, I understand man.
Right.
I understand the vice. I understand the pain, the susceptibility to the passions, if you will. Anyway, this is great. I'm just going to take another sip. This is pretty exciting. Okay. I only care. I care. I don't believe that, Dalinar thought. I can't believe that. The old man sighed and then heaved himself to his feet. If you could see the result of Honor's influence, you would not be so quick to name me a god of anger. Separate the emotion from men, and you have creatures like Nail and his Skybreakers. That is what Honor would have given you. Dalinar nodded toward the terrible fray on the field before them. You said I was wrong about what caused the Radiance to abandon their oaths. What was it really?
Oh, dude, are we going to get it?
Odium smiled. Passion, son. Glorious, wondrous passion. Emotion. It is what defines men, though ironically, you are poor vessels for it. It fills you up and breaks you, unless you find someone to share the burden. He looked toward the dying men. But can you imagine a world without it? No. Not one I'd want to live in. And that of cultivation next time you see her. And what she'd want for Bashar. I think you'll find me to be the better choice. Next time, Dalinar said. I've never seen her. Of course you have. Odium said, turning and walking away. She simply robbed you of that memory. Her touch is not how I will
help
you.
Just for audio purposes, because there's a lot of people watching us on video right now. But those of you who are not watching us on video and are only in the audio medium, that dramatic pause that just happened was Jack's mouth dropping and him looking up at me in the camera. I just want to for posterity's sake, I just want everyone to know that's what just happened here.
Hang on, I might have to think about that one again. Hang on, next time.
You can pause and
I've never seen her. Of course you've seen her. She simply robbed you of that memory. Her touch is not how I would have helped you. It stole a part of you away and left you like a blind man who can't remember that he once had sight. So the Night Watcher is cultivation?
For those of you can't see a camera, I just put my arms up and went, I don't know.
Okay. Dalinar stood up. I offer you a challenge of champions. With terms to be discussed, will you accept it?
This is getting interesting.
Remember, this is what he was told could be a solution to this whole thing.
Is to offer Odium the challenge.
A challenge, like a duel of champions, yeah.
Who was it that Dalinar got that idea from?
I think he got it from the Stormfather via Honor.
Okay. Odium stopped and then turned slowly. Do you speak for the world, Dalinar Kolin? Will you offer this for all Roshar? Storms, Woody. Either way, I don't accept. Odium stood taller, smiling in an unnervingly understanding way. I need not take on such a risk, for I know, Dalinar Kolin, that you will make the right decision. You will free me. No, Dalinar stood. You shouldn't have revealed yourself, Odium. I once feared you, but it's easier to fear what you don't understand. I've seen you now, and I can fight you. You've seen me, have you? Curious. Odium smiled again. Then everything went white. Dalinar found himself standing on a speck of nothingness that was the entire world, looking up at an eternal, all-embracing flame. It stretched in every direction, starting as red, moving to orange, and then changing to blazing white. Then somehow the flames seemed to burn into a deep blackness, violet and angry. This was something so terrible that it consumed light itself. It was hot, a radiance indescribable. Intense heat and black fire colored violet at the outside. Burning. Overwhelming. Power. It was the scream of 1,000 warriors on the battlefield. It was the moment of most sensual touch and ecstasy. It was the sorrow of loss, the joy of victory. And it was hatred. Deep, pulsing hatred with a pressure to turn all things molten. It was the heat of 1,000 suns. It was the bliss of every kiss. It was the lives of all men wrapped up in one, defined by everything they felt. Even taking in the smallest fraction of it terrified Dalinar. It left him tiny and frail. He knew if he drank of what of that raw, concentrated, liquid black fire, he'd be nothing in a moment. The entire planet of Roshar would puff away, no more consequential than the curling smoke of a snuffed-out candle. It faded, and Dalinar found himself lying on the rock outside Feverstone Keep, staring upward. Above him, the sun seemed dim and cold. Everything felt frozen by contrast. Odium knelt down beside him, and then helped him rise to a seated position. There, there. That was a smidge too much, wasn't it? I had forgotten how overwhelming that could be. Here, take a drink. He handed Dalinar a water skin.
This is like crazy.
Like, he's just flexing on him.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot how overwhelming that could be.
Dalinar looked at it, baffled, and then up at the old man. In Odium's eyes, he could see that violet-black fire, deep, deep within. The figure with whom Dalinar spoke was not the god. It was merely a face, a mask. Because if Dalinar had to confront the true force behind those smiling eyes, he would go mad. Odium patted him on the shoulder. Take a minute, Dalinar. I'll leave you here. Relax. It, he cut off, then frowned, spinning. He searched the rocks. What? Dalinar asked. Nothing. Just an old man's mind playing tricks on him. He patted Dalinar on the arm. We'll speak again. I promise. He vanished in an eye blink. Dalinar collapsed backward, completely drained. Storms just... storms. That guy, a girl's voice said, is creepy. Oh my god. that's really funny.
What a way to really cut an intense scene, eh?
I was not anticipating that. That's funny.
So first off, let's just take a second here and think about what just happened. Couple of things. The Night Watcher might be actually Cultivation, or
yeah,
maybe the Night Watcher's real name is Cultivation, or something's going on there.
I don't know.
At the very least, Odium is claiming that the person who actually took Dalinar's memories is Cultivation.
Correct.
Right.
That's what Odium's claim is.
Whether or not the semantics of who is who and how that works.
Yeah.
The truth that we found out was that Dalinar's memories of Evie were taken away by Cultivation, this third major entity on Roshar.
Right.
The other thing is, Odium is really powerful.
Yeah.
This sliver of power, like, almost completely overwhelmed Dalinar here. And when he's like, oh, I know you now. I was afraid of you before, but now that I know you, I am not afraid of you anymore. Yeah, I think he might be a little afraid now that Odium, flexed his muscles, as it were.
Right. And also, Odium is not taking the bait.
He's not. Because he thinks he's winning right now. He's not desperate enough to take the challenge, right?
Okay. I just want to finish this. I can barely stand.
Yeah, we're almost done.
That guy, a girl's voice said, is creepy. Dalinar shifted, sitting up with difficulty, and a head popped up from behind some nearby rocks. Tan skin, pale eyes, long dark hair, lean, girlish features. I mean, old men are all creepy, Lif said. Seriously,
all wrinkly, and, hey, want some sweets? And, oh, listen to this boring story. I'm on to them. They can act nice all they want, but nobody gets old without running a whole bunch of lives. Without ruining a whole bunch of lives. Nobody gets old without ruining a whole bunch of lives. It's pretty accurate, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
She climbed over the rocks. She wore fine Asish clothing, now compared to the simple trousers and shirt from last time. Colorful patterns on robes, a thick overcoat and cap. Even as old people go, that one was extra creepy, she said softly. What was that thing, tight butt? Didn't smell like a real person?
She calls him Odium. Tight Butt. That's the nickname she has for him now, is Tight Butt.
Tight Butt. God, lift. They call it Odium, Dalinar said, exhausted. And it is what we fight. Huh. Compared to that, you're nothing. Well, thank you. She nodded as if it were a compliment. I'll talk to Gox. You got good food at that tower city of yours, don't you? Or at that tower city of yours? We can prepare some for you. Yeah, I don't care what you prepare. What do you eat? Is it good? Yes. Not military rations or some such nonsense, right? Not usually. Great. She looked at the place where Odium had vanished and then shivered visibly. We'll visit. She paused and then poked him in the arm. Don't tell Gox about the Odium thing, okay? He's got too many old people to worry about already. Dalinar nodded. The bizarre girl vanished, and moments later, the vision finally faded. The end of part two.
Yeah, buddy.
We did it.
We got here.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah, dude. Do you have anything you want to quickly like chat about or have any questions about from that chapter?
Well, I'm confused. I think I'm overwhelmed and confused, I think. I don't understand the presence of the three.
Right.
So, it's bizarre. And if Odium could do this, why wait for that specific moment with Dalinar?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Why not talk to him? Why not talk to him in Way of Kings?
Right. Like, what's he waiting? It seems like he needs to cultivate Dalinar in order to get him to.
He said he's been with him. I've been always with you.
Right.
So maybe he's been around for a while and we just haven't noticed. You know?
Hmm.
Might have to this will give you a chance now that once we're going back and rereading or reading some of these flashbacks.
Yeah.
Maybe Odium's been around since back then. We don't know. We'll have to read and find out.
I don't know. I don't know what to think. I'm overwhelmed. That's fantastic though.
Well, you'll
think
about it for a bit and then, when we record our next episode, maybe you'll have some more thoughts on it. Do you have any highlight that you want to maybe mention?
Jeez, I don't know. My highlight is the creepy men bit at the end with Lift poking her head in. That was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
I like the tone of that chapter.
Mm-hmm.
It's really intense. It's like, it's not often I find anyways in fiction where you're getting these like cosmic entities interacting with mortals.
Right.
It's really, it's something, it's almost incomprehensible. Right.
For sure.
So
like, how is Dalinar supposed to, react? Right. Like,
I don't know. And I don't fully understand and I think there goes my theory that Dalinar has been, quietly, moving the pieces consciously to, be the Blackthorn, because that's what he is and will always be that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This whole thing with the champion, it seems that Odium is one step ahead.
Well, Odium rejected that right off because, like I said
right
earlier, he's just getting going. Like his, the Void Sprinter out there, they're turning into fused. Mm-hmm. Like his, No, his people are at work right now, so there's no reason to bet the farm on a duel when he has a chance of winning without that, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
So my highlights are, crazy. I have a couple. I love the passion speech when he's like, I am emotion incarnate. I am the soul of the spren of men. I am lust, joy, hatred, anger, exaltation. I am glory. I am vice. I am the very thing that makes men men. Like, I love that speech. I think that's really, really cool. Because so far, we've had this idea that odium is just hatred. But it's way more complicated than that. You know, so...
Well, it appears to be like he's... I mean, if you're all of those things, if you're all of those emotions, the one thing that I find is running through all of them is they're very reactionary, right? So they're not measured, they're not calculated, they're not controlled. So odium, I mean, it's either you're into chaos or you're into some kind of organized chaos.
Right.
So in D&D terms, it's kind of like, it's the difference between devils and demons.
The other little highlight, obviously, is when Lift calls him Tight Butt as a nickname. I think that's hilarious. But I have one here that actually is very singularly focused on the audible experience of listening to these novels. Okay.
Okay.
I don't even know if I'm the only one that's ever thought this, but in reading the books, you don't get a sense that there's anything really particular about odium in one way or another, because when you read it, it's your own voice, either internally or externally, depending on how you read.
Right.
But when you listen to the audible version of this, I believe, this is me, I might not be the only, I might be the only one in the world that thinks this, I believe that Michael Kramer, the one who reads the books on Audible, made a very specific choice with how he read odium. I believe that some
Which
of his tendencies, as he was reading Sadeus, he brought into Odium. Because Sadeus and Odium, his voice when he uses those two characters are very similar. And I feel like, obviously, it's me reading into it, but I feel like Odium would sound like Sadeus to Dalinar just to irk him a tiny little bit. There's this thing in the audible version of the books that Sadeus always does when he reads or when he speaks, and he goes, "Oh, Dalinar." Like the way that he, Michael Kramer delivers that line, and the way that Odium says that, "Oh, Dalinar," it's almost identical to the Sadeus way of saying it. And like, he's patronizing. It's like he's talking down to him. And I think it's in my head canon. I mean, it would be a question for Mr. Kramer to actually ask him, or even Sanderson, to see if maybe Brandon gave Mr. Kramer any direction in this way to make Odium sound like Sadeus. That Sadeus is gone, but there's a little part of him that stays in that Odium voice, and that's done on purpose kind of thing. You know what I mean? This is your new foe. Your old foe is gone, but your new foe still talks to you the way Sadeus did. So I don't know. This might all be made up in my head, but I really love it. You know what?
That's interesting, but wouldn't it also elicit like a response from Dalinar that wouldn't be desired by Odium? So if you're taunting him with Sadeus's voice,
for sure,
then wouldn't that anger?
Of course, and it's not
Dalinar
written in the text.
More,
because if it was really meant to be that way, Brandon Sanderson would have wrote it in the text saying his voice sounded a lot like Sadeus. But it's not written that way, which meant it's not meant to be that way. But for me, my headcanon is that Michael Kramer made the choice to use the same voice as Sadeus because it's kind of fitting that his new villain sounds like his old villain kind of thing. You know what I mean? Anyways, I just love it. I think
that's
it's great.
Cool.
That's the episode. Let's go to the, quickly, we'll do a quick info dump here. Where's the info dump?
We have an info dump already?
Yeah,
for this
well,
one?
We have to. I mean, Buzzkill Joe did all the work, so we got to do the
nice.
Thing. So thanks again to Buzzkill Joe for doing work on the info dump for us. We really Woo-hoo. Appreciate you, bro. So always with you. Oh, no. Yeah, always with you. This is a vision of Feverstone Keep, as we know. The Masha daughter, Shaliv, is a Shin historian. We know that it's Shin because of the whole daughter part in here. Son Valano, Masha daughter Shaliv is a kind of a way that they talk. Dov Kanti is a poet who wrote about the false desolation that took place 1500 years ago. Haravingian is a sword style from 2000 years ago, likely from some defunct ancient kingdom. It's funny that it's like Taravangian a little bit. There's a little bit of similarity in the name there.
Yeah, right.
It's really neat. The recreants took place 2500 years ago, but now it seems like maybe that might not be right, because Yasna's like, actually, if this is during this time period, maybe what we know about history is wrong. Well, Feverstone Keep still, we don't know where it is. Maybe they will figure that out later on in this book or in future books, but they still don't know where Feverstone Keep is on Roshar. He has got a note here saying that Bondsmith leveling up, he was able to level up by bringing Navani and Yasna in without the High Storm, which is really awesome.
Right.
And then there's a really cool description of Odium here. An old man with a wide furrowed face, bone white hair, thick mustache with a hint of black in them blended into a short white beard. He seemed to be Shin, judging by his skin and eyes, and he wore a golden crown in his white powdery hair. So really, really, really cool. And then the next chapter, 57, Passion. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's just a conversation. We do get confirmation that there are three gods on Roshar, or there was. Odium, Honor and Cultivation. And he said that there are more, but only these ones relate to you, which means, I don't know what that means. I can't really say, but there seems to be, he did say that there were more, but the only ones that you need to worry about are the three, right? So that's it. That's the info dump. Thank you very much for to Buzzkill Joe for doing all that hard work. We really appreciate you, dude. If you guys want to be able to experience what the Discord friends have experienced here, which was to sit in on our live read and be able to see it live, you can go to patreon.com/heroesof to sign up for the Discord. You can do that at the lowest tier, or you can check out the higher tiers. There's, if you get to the second tier, Craftmaster Mike will send you a nice fun bundle. So that's always fun. If you want to reach out to us with your reactions to what's going on, you can do so at heroesofcathra@gmail.com. You can hit us at the cesspool known as Twitter at Heroes of One. You can visit us on Instagram at the Storm Pod, or hit up the Reddit, the subreddit, or the Facebook page Storm Pod as well. All right. Well, thank you everyone much for listening. We really appreciate you. Thank you everyone who was on the call with us. We really appreciate you.
Yes. Thanks so
much,
everybody.
Yeah, that's the end of the show. Thank you very much. Till next time.
Take care, everybody.
The Storm Pod is brought to you by Heroes of. Music and theme song by Jack Forrest Productions. Additional music by Jason Moray. Produced by our wonderful Patreon team and the Heroes of Akathra.
Okay, so
thank you very much for everyone for coming in. Sorry to those who jumped out. We love you just the same, maybe even more. Sorry, the other ones. We love you guys even more now because you guys jumped out. We will figure this out, and maybe I'll put a couple people on it to get all this worked out. So sorry again for the I just really didn't expect all these people to be here. So, but it's awesome. Okay, it's a good problem to have.
It's a good problem.
All right. You ready, Jack?
I don't know. What am I getting into here?
Is this
going to be bad news?
That is a whole other conversation.
Bad news bears?
This is the bad news bears chapter of the book where all the bears come and they are bad news.
Oathbringer. The end of part two. Is it something that I can stomach, or is it, this is going to be good?
I mean,
I hope it's good.
I don't want to ruin anything before we even get started, but people have really looked forward to this chapter for you. It was when I threw out a while back what chapters should be live read. This was definitely one of the ones that people wanted live read. So so I think people are just really excited. You have no notes, no prior reading to this. You have no idea what's about to happen. So maybe we should just get to it.
Okay, well, chapter 56.
Hold on. No, we have to do this like an actual episode. So we gotta do the intro.
Oh, I didn't even know that, dude.
Yeah, this is its own episode. Yeah. So
well, do your thing. Well, do you have an opening prepared?
I do have one.
Here's Jack and blah blah blah.
Yeah, exactly. I do have one.
Okay, do your thing.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.